All right. Okay, so we're going to start a new series, and I'm really excited about it. And, you know, as I pray and I talk about how I pray for you and vision where you sit and what to pray about, during Lent, I try and do a seven-week series that leads up to Easter. And so the Holy Spirit put it upon my heart to do a series on the one another passages. I know you've all read them or read them in different contexts, but the one another passages in the Bible. And I've been thinking, how can we love one another, encourage one another, support one another, and how can we build community when there's so much disunity? Disunity sometimes in our family, we have disunity in our political structures, we have disunity in our economy, we have disunity in some of our schools. And what does the Bible say about one another? And I think it's really important for us to build community, not just here in the seed, but in our families, in our workplaces. And so I put it up here for the next 7 weeks. We're going to greet one another. We're going to honor and be devoted to one another. We're going to submit and serve one another. We're going to live in harmony with one another. We're going to teach and admonish and accept one another. We're going to bear with one another. And when we get to Palm Sunday, we're going to love one another. And we experience Easter, which is the deepest love we have, that God offered up his only son. So my so what comes early, and we could stop here, and you could leave that up there, is, have you ever thought about how you greet one another? How you greet one another? How you honor one another? How you're devoted to one another? How you submit and serve one another? Or live in harmony with one another? Or teach, or admonish, or accept one another, or you bear with one another, or love one another. Paul wrote many of the one another statements, but Peter did too. And when these one another statements were written in the epistles, those are the letters of the New Testament, they were written to a church that was struggling with the same things we struggle with. How do we encourage one another? How do we greet one another? How do we support one another and serve one another? So for the next 7 weeks, you're going to hear one another, aleon in the Greek, aleon, one another. I thought about titling it one anothering. I don't know. You can give me the title for the series. But one another, for next 7 weeks, you're going to hear that over and over and over again. Before we go to God's word, let us pray. Lord God, let us learn to love one another, encourage one another, support and serve one another, and greet one another. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come and fill our hearts with your presence today. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to use some passages, and we had a little game night the other night, and the question came up, and you put your cards in order from the highest to the lowest. And it was interesting because we had about 12 people around the table, and we asked the question, how do you put your cards left to right, highest to lowest, or right to left, highest to lowest? And it turned out that most of the women did right to left, and the men did left to right. And I thought about how we organize and structure our lives. And so someone said, do you read a book from the back to the front? Some people do. Try not to. Well, we're going to start at the back of the books. And it's interesting because when Paul and Peter, they wrote these letters, and if you read the letters or the epistles, they always end with a greeting. Now, I would think that the greeting would be at the front. Greet this person or greet this person. But they always end with a greeting. So we're going to start at the end of Romans and the end of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, the end of Thessalonians, the end of Peter. And we're going to just take a quick, brief look at the endings of some of the letters. And here's what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 16, 1 through 16, and it's a longer reading. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. And there's a bunch of names in here, and you're not going to hardly know any of them. And I want you to think about that. That Paul ends this letter with all these names of people we've never heard of. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Priscilla and Aquila. Who's heard of Priscilla and Aquila? A few. They risked their lives. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Epaphras is the first person who ever came to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Paul's saying these people probably walked or talked with Jesus. Andronicus and Junius. They were in Christ Jesus before I was, Paul says. Greet them. Greet them. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, my fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Statius. Greet Apelleus, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodion, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosis, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Three women there, Tryphena, Tryphosis, and Persis. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother too. We don't know her name. Paul knew her name, but he says, greet Rufus. Now, we're going to stop there for a minute because Rufus, many scholars believe, was the son of Simon of Cyrene. And Simon of Cyrene is the one who, when Jesus is walking down Golgotha and he falls and he can't get back up because the cross and the crucifixion is so hard, they grab a stalwart African man from Cyrene, and they call him Simon of Cyrene, and he has his two sons with him, and one of them is Rufus. And Rufus is now mentioned here at the end of Romans. And Paul says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegion, Hermes, Patropas, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister. There's another person that's not named, but she's there. And Olympus, and all the saints with them. Verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Wow. That's radical. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send their greetings. And he goes on and ends it a little bit more with some more personal sharing about Timothy and others that are with him. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. It's the very ending of Peter, 1 Peter. Peter says, greet one another with a kiss of love. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians chapter 16, 19 through 24. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord. And so does the church that meets at their home, same as what he wrote in Romans. All the brothers here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Maranatha, come, O Lord. Maranatha, come, O Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. He ends the letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 12 through 14. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, when Paul is writing these letters and when Peter is writing his letter, those churches are struggling with conflict. Some of them are being persecuted. Their society is no different than our society. In fact, the Romans are ruling over them. And he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a kiss of love. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 26 and 28, he says, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So now you've just read Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, you've read 1 Peter, and you've read Thessalonians, and you've started at the back. The ending. This is how he ends. He ends with, greet one another. Greet one another. Many years ago, there was a man and a woman, and he was stationed at Fort Ord in the 50s, and he would write love letters to his bride-to-be, and telling her how much he loved her. And then he would kiss the envelope and mail it because he wanted to marry his young bride, but he was in the military. And after the war and his time in service, he did go and marry his bride. And they just recently celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And they were sitting and celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and they were reminiscing about all the times that they would talk on the telephone or get the love letters that they wrote back and forth to each other. We don't really write love letters anymore. We just, I'll send you a text with a heart on it. In fact, I sent my wife a heart. I love you more today than I did yesterday, and I sent it to her this morning. But that's not a love letter. That's not, you know, sealed with a kiss. And I thought about this man serving in Fort Ord, and they were reminiscing, and their favorite song came on, and they were sharing stories. And the woman said, her name was Stacy, I think. She said, I remember the letters that I received from you. And then they thought, well, we haven't been doing that. We haven't been getting that letter. And not long after that, they tore down the post office at Fort Ord. And the construction workers found an envelope stuck in the wall. And it was to this lady. And so the construction workers gave it to the postmaster in Monterey, California here, because that's where it was close to. And he searched and researched, and he delivered the letter 52 years after it was written. And the husband said it was sealed with a kiss. Well, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hundreds, thousands of years ago, God wrote a letter to us. It's a love letter. And it doesn't matter whenever you open it. But I want you to know that letter is sealed with a kiss. It's a kiss of love. That there's no greater love than the love that would a person lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said to his disciples, "And you are my friends." I think of what Paul was writing here, and real quickly, I want to just say, I want to talk about Romans real quickly, and I'm going to go fast, but in this, Paul includes 28 people. 28 people were listed in that passage in Romans 1 through 16. 26 were mentioned by name. Two of them weren't. Rufus's mother and Nerus's sister. There's five different groups, 17 men, 9 women, 2 couples, 2 households. There's 5 slaves mentioned in this list. 5 slaves, and some of them had really profound influence in their culture. Aristobulus was thought to be the grandson of Herod the Great. And he was the friend of Emperor Claudius. Narcissus was likely a well-known servant who exercised great influence on Emperor Claudius. And Rufus, we just talked about, was most likely the son of Simon of Cyrene. And see, we get to the end of the book and we just skip over chapter 16 or chapter 13 in Corinthians or chapter 5 in 1 Peter. But it's so important to know what's fascinating to me is these names, well, they're lost in history. No one really knows Nerus. And Nerus was most likely the servant, they say, of Flavius, Clemens, and Domitilla. And he ministered or brought the gospel to them. And they were influential people in Rome, and they were persecuted in Rome. And in fact, Domitilla is the first cemetery, Christian cemetery, named in Rome after her. We lose these names in history. And yet all of these saints, all of these 27 names have been sealed with a kiss. They've been sealed with a kiss. A holy kiss. Now, what Paul is talking about and what Peter is talking about, and I want to just address it for a minute, is in their culture, when they would greet someone, they opened their arms, they would usually hug each other and kiss each other on the cheek. Men would kiss men on the cheek, and women would kiss women on the cheek. And that was their culture, to show this love that they had for each other. And so it wasn't uncommon for the writers, Paul or Peter, to say, greet each other with a holy kiss. Greet each other with a holy kiss. Now, I have to tell you, in our culture, we don't do that. Or at least when I grew up in the Midwest, stoic English people, we didn't even hardly hug. Okay. But when I came to California the first time in 1999, I'm going to share, and I asked Ruthie if I could share. It was back when you could wait at the gate for the people that you're waiting for, and we figured no one would meet us at the gate. And so in 1999, we landed for our interview to come out to become a pastor here, and Ruthie was waiting at the gate. Can you imagine Ruthie waiting and hugging everybody? Oh, are you Dave and Jack? Are you Dave and Jack? I think she had our picture, but she was waiting. And when we walked out of the walkway, the gateway, and she was there, she ran up and she hugged us and kissed us. Now, wait a minute. Now, if you know Ruthie well enough, in fact, she used a word last week for hug, and I can't even remember the word, but it, her email, I won't give you a whole, I could give you her whole email, but it's Hughes Hugs. And she's known as the hugger, right? But whether you want to or not. And so I think of coming to California was a radical experience for me. Because when we got to the church, people would come up and plant a kiss on our cheek. And I thought, where am I at? What's going on? And when we went back to Illinois after 3 years to visit some family, my wife saw her really good friends in church, and she ran up and she hugged them and kissed them on the cheek. It was another lady. And the lady said, "What has happened to you in California?" But maybe it's just the Holy Spirit just working in us to reach out. I do men's retreats called Walk to Emmaus, and women's retreats Walk to Emmaus, and on the credos. And on the weekend, I try and teach the men how to pass the peace. We have a passing of the peace. And in fact, when Justin Martyr, who was one of the early followers around 110 to 165 AD, he talked about communion in his apology as his defense of the faith. And in his letter, he talks about whenever you share communion, you greet each other with a holy kiss after communion. So it was their custom to greet each other with a hug or a kiss on the cheek. Now, when I do these retreats for men, I try and teach men how to hug, okay? Can I get a man volunteer? Diego, can you come up? He looked up, so I grabbed him. And he's a hugger. Diego's a hugger. So most of the time, men hug like this. I'm going to demonstrate how men hug. Sometimes they hug from across the room. Because, well, we don't want to get that close, right? We hug from across the room. Sometimes we give the bro hug. We go like this. So we give the bro hug. There's the A-frame hug. And, of course, the great helicopter hug. And then there's the one arm. I call it the paper hanger hug. You know, we don't know how to greet each other. We don't know how to greet each other. You can be seated. Thanks. Come on. Thanks for coming.
No, give me a real hug.
Oh, real hug. Actually, when we went to Ecuador and did some weekends down there, and when we introduced the hug to the Ecuadorians. And it was really interesting because the Ecuadorians and the Peruvians who we brought up from Peru, they didn't like each other. They had a civil war at one time, the Peruvians and Ecuadorians, and they stood at the opposite end of the room. But by the time on the third day when we introduced them to pass the peace with a hug, they would grab each other and they would pick each other up and they would dance around hugging each other, saying, "God loves you." La victoria de Jesus. The victory is in Jesus. It was so profound to see them in that greeting. La victoria de Jesus. Now, we're American. We might shake hands with someone. We might just go, "Hey." So when he comes to the Greek word greet, and I put it up here in Greek for you, I think. Can you go to the Greek word for Greek is aspinoze. Aspinoze. And in the context, there's 16 times in Romans 16 he uses this word, greet. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Greet Nereus. Greet Olympus. Greet Herodian. Greet Astrobolus. He says it 16 times, greet. And it means to welcome kindly, receive one another, embrace, be happy about, bid welcome, salute, or greet. I wonder, so my so what question is, when we're called to greet one another, Do we stand across the room and go? Or do we? And I was going to bring my headphones, you know, and put my headphones in because, you know, when you go work out, everybody's got their headphones and no one says anything to anybody, right? No one even looks at anyone anymore. I wonder what would happen if we really greeted one another. Not just in the church, but what would happen if we welcomed one another kindly? What would happen if we received one another with love? What would happen if we showed others just how happy we are to see them? When the Peruvians and the Ecuadorians were hugging, they were dancing. It wasn't just it wasn't an A-frame hug, it wasn't a helicopter hug, it wasn't a bro hug. They grabbed each other and lifted each other up. Now, I want to have a disclaimer. I'm not asking you to go hug anyone. In fact, there are people that don't want to be hugged, and that's fine. In fact, I would say don't ever hug anyone without permission. Okay? Don't ever go up and hug someone. Don't come up from behind them and hug them. Ask permission. So if Sandy is standing there and say, can I give you a hug? Now, Ruthie doesn't probably go by that rule, but Ruthie does. She says she does. Sort of. When you're new to Ruthie, she asks, can I hug you? Okay, but after you know Ruthie, look out. But if Sandy was there, I'd say, can I give you a hug? And we would give a hug. And give an appropriate hug. Okay? But how do we greet one another? That's the question that I have for us today. How do we greet one another? And our so what is this greeting? And I think of how important it is for us to welcome kindly, receive one another, embrace one another, be happy about, bid welcome, and salute or greet one another. There's a man by the name of John Sutherland. He's an officer in the London Police Department, and he explains the principle of forensic science. And it's called Locard's Exchange Principle. And it was developed by Dr. Edmond Locard, who was the Sherlock Holmes of France. And he says there's a simple principle. There's a simple principle. He says every contact leaves a trace. Now, this is in forensic science. He says every contact leaves a trace. And so if you watch these CSI shows or you watch the forensic shows, these forensic scientists, I've got a police officer back here, so some probation officers. Every contact leaves a trace. He says every touch, whatever he leaves, even unconsciously, will serve as a silent witness about him. Not only his fingerprints, his footprints, but hair, fibers from the clothes, the glass, the paint he touches, he deposits or collects. This is evidence that does not forget. Sutherland explains how this principle applies not just to forensic science, but to all human relationships. Every time two people, so he wrote this, every time two people come into contact one another, an exchange takes place. Think about that. Every time you see someone, whether it's here at the Seed or at the grocery store or at school or at work, whenever two people come in contact with, there's an exchange that takes place. There's an exchange that takes place. He says, whether it's between lifelong friends or passing strangers, we encourage, we ignore, we hold out a hand, or we withdraw. We walk towards or we walk away. We bless or we curse. And every single contact leaves a trace. The way we treat and regard one another really matters. And this was written by a forensic scientist. So you're so what today? If every contact leaves a trace, and we're going to be talking about one another, we have to learn to greet one another. So my so what, my application, I always get to this, we could read all these words and what do they mean to you, but really this is where our application is. Our application is when you go out today, whether it's being a teacher and touching students or parents, whether it's working with computers and sending an email, even emails touch people. So the so what is how are we going to greet one another? And I'm not recommending that you go out and hug everyone. You don't have to be a Ruthie. And maybe hugging isn't your thing. That's okay. But I'm going to ask you to be intentional this week to greet Aspinozo. And actually, it's an imperative. It's a command in the Greek. It's to make eye contact with someone and say hello. It's to say, how's your day going, instead of how are you. When I greet people, I would usually say, how's your day going, instead of how are you. Because if I ask them how they're doing, they're going to go, fine. But if I say, how's your day going today, whether it's the store clerk, whether it's the gas station attendant, whether it's someone else I'm meeting, I say, how's your day going, sometimes they'll say, it's not going very well. My friend had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I said, can I pray for you? That one contact with that one person, and every one of us is going to walk out of here today, and we're going to be able to have contact with a lot of people this week. So your so what? Your so what is up here. Call out your checkout person by name. They usually have a name tag. Say, hey, how you doing, Bob? How's your day going? What's happening in your life? Make eye contact with someone this week. You're so what? And I say this to my granddaughter every day I drop her off. I say, smile, don't I? I say, smile. Because you know what? If you smile, someone's going to smile back at you. Aspinoze, greet one another with love. I tell you what, if we started right here with all the people in here and we started greeting one another and all the people we met, we'll change our environment. We'll change our community. We'll change our workplaces. We'll change our homes. If we greet one another with love. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to greet one another. We want to love one another. We want to encourage one another. We want to serve one another. We want to be the disciples that you call us to be. Help us to proclaim your name. And let us be a light of your love and presence out in this world as we, Aspinoze, greet one another with love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.